good. You know he is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time.
He works the whole world over.
Hallelujah.
No greater friend you'll find.
Oh, now he's not good
just once in a while,
but he's good
all the time.
Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? My God is good. I know he is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time.
You can search the whole world over, and no greater friend you'll ever find.
Oh, a good hand clap of praise. Amen. How many of you know he is good all the time? And all the time he is good, isn't he? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? The word of the Lord was just precious. The presence of the Lord, his blessings, his spirit was just among us. And well, we're just so thankful for that. I'm glad we're not bound by some dead creed or some dead denominational spirit that we just come in and sit down and that's all there is to it. You get up and you walk out and you've gained nothing. You've lost nothing. You just was there. But I believe every time we come here, we leave a lot better shape than when we got here. Are you glad about that tonight? Look at somebody and say, what kind of shape are you in tonight? Now tell them this. You can leave better than you are right now if you want to. Now let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight.
Play it, boys, one more time.
One more time with all of our heart. Well, I know my God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time.
You can search the whole world over and no greater friend.
Somebody say praise the Lord. If you don't care to just stand with me just for a few minutes, we don't have that many requests tonight. First of all, let me read this card of thanks. We want to thank everyone at Happy Valley for the cards, prayers, thoughts, and for the beautiful flowers sent for our mother's funeral. We really appreciate it. Love and God bless you all, Sister Lou Bean and Sister Sharon Binkley. Well, we're still praying for those folks. We know God is a comfort in times of trouble, and we certainly appreciate both families, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Brenda Harmon suffering from food poisoning tonight, so we want to remember her in prayer. Sister Ruth Ward wants to thank God for healing her back. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. It's all right. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Brother Jerry Phillips is still recovering from surgery. We want to continue to remember him in prayer that the Lord would just give him a speedy recovery. We miss him not being here in the service, so we just pray for those folks tonight. We want to pray for Brother Howard Collins, who fell on the deck and hurt his back and leg. He is in a lot of pain. Also, Sister Yvetta has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Brother Orville Reese says, please pray for my son, Sean. He fell this week, resulting in a concussion with bruises. They flew him to the hospital. He needs a healing touch from the Lord. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Brandon Green sends us in for Charles Frazier in Virginia, battling cancer, believing for his healing. So we will remember that need tonight. Also, a friend in West Virginia lost her mother suddenly this week. Pray for that family, that the Lord would just comfort their hearts. So we want to do that tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. I so enjoyed Brother Charlie's testimony Wednesday night. Just bless my heart. Brother Charlie, are you up to coming up here and praying over these prayer requests tonight? Sure he is. We appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen. We certainly do. Love you, buddy.
He's the healer.
And I'm the proof.
You should be the proof if you're sick.
Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, as we come to you for these needs, Father, that were mentioned now, we believe you are their healer and our healer, Father. Your word cannot fail. It will never fail because the word is you, Father. We ask you to touch these brothers and sisters who are sick, Father. Let it all come to pass for your glory and honor. We claim it because your word cannot fail. And your word, it's you, Father. We lean on you for all things. Help us to overcome the evil things of this world, Father, that we may give you glory and honor in these temples of flesh. We are your children, predestinated not to fail, Father. And Lord, we thank you for Calvary above all things, for it was there that you paid for our sins, paid for our lives, Father, to be honored by you, Lord. We give you all the glory and honor as we ask for these things, Father. Ask you to bless us now with your precious word, anoint the lips of your servant, and give us more understanding, more revelation of your word. In your glorious, precious name we ask it, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. Give this guy a nice hand tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is Brother Brandon Green, where is he? Is he back here somewhere? Where is he at? Where is he? Brandon, where are you? I can't see you. Raise your hand, wave your hand. Get up here right quick. Brother Brandon Green, get up here just real quickly. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service tonight, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service, we want this service to be a great blessing to those folks as well. Can we say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand tonight, if you will. Amen. Brother Brandon, I want you to get over there. You don't have to worry about the guitar unless you want to. But I want you to do our congregational sing tonight, I'm Going Home. How many of you feel like you're going home tonight? Just in case you don't know, this ain't home. This is not home. This is not as good as it gets. This is not as good as it. We're going home. Are you excited about it? Are you looking forward to it? Are you looking forward to spending eternity with each other? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise.
I don't know. I've been breathing hay or something. I had to drop it down about two keys, maybe B flat.
Let's sing this with you. Brothers, we got that song on the screen. We're going home. Is they got it on the screen, Brother Brandon?
That'd be great if they did, because I don't have
the
words.
Put it on the screen if you got it. Let's sing this with Brother Brandon. I like this song. I believe the Holy Ghost likes this song, too. Amen.
Y'all pray for me. Just squeak it out with me. This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain and all this suffering. There's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We're gonna dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven, in heaven. 'Cause we're going home where the streets are golden. Every chain will be broken. Oh, I want to go, Lord, we want to go home. Where every fear is gone, we're in your open arms, where we belong. We're going home. Lay down our burdens, we lay down our past. We run to Jesus, there's no turning back. Thank God Almighty, we'll be free at last in heaven. In heaven, hallelujah. We're going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Lord, we want to go. Lord, we want to go home where every fear is gone. We're in your open arms. Where we belong, we belong there. The blinded eyes, they will finally see. The dead will rise on the shores of eternity. The trump will sound, the angels will sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Oh, we want to go. Lord, we want to go home. Where every fear is gone. We're in your open arms. Where we belong. The blind will see. The blind will see. The dead will raise. On the shores of eternity, the trump will sound, the angels will sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going home where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Lord, we want to go. Lord, we want to go home where every fear is gone. We're in your open arms, where we belong. Where we belong, we're going home. We're going home. We're on our way. Lay down our burdens, we lay down our past. we run to Jesus, there's no turning back. Thank God Almighty, we'll be free at last in heaven. In heaven, cause we're going home where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Lord, we wanna go. Lord, we wanna go home where every fear is gone. We're in your open arms where we belong. The blinded eyes, they will finally see. The dead will rise on the shores of eternity. The trumpet will sound, the angels will sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going home where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Lord, we want to go. Lord, we want to go home where every fear is gone. We're in your open arms where we belong. Where we belong. We're going home. We're going home.
Song tonight, just before we change the order of the service, Sister Kate Benton, if you'd come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. Let's sing a little bit of this. Brother Harry, lead us in that little chorus. Do a verse and we'll help you on the chorus. That sounds like home to me. Everything he said a minute ago, that sounds like home to me. Don't it, you? Amen. Let's sing a little bit of this before.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy and peace. The tree of life is blooming there forever.
Sing it, church!
And a crown of life is waiting there for me.
And that sounds like
the city.
Oh, I believe in church, don't you?
A crystal river flowing by, a tree of life.
Thank you, Lord.
No more pain, no disappointments ever come there.
Thank you, Lord.
And Jesus Christ, my God, will be the light.
Grace.
and glory.
Praise the Lord. Give our singer a nice hand tonight. You can be seated. God bless you tonight.
It's not home where men sell their souls and the taste of power is sweet, where wrong is right and neighbors fight while the hungry are dying in the streets, where kids are abused and women are used and the weak are crushed by the strong. Gone mad, Jesus is sad, and I don't belong. I don't belong, and I'm going someday home to my own native land, where I'll belong. And it seems like I hear the sound of a welcome home band. I've always known this place ain't home, and I don't belong. I don't belong, but while I'm here, I'll be living like I've nothing to lose. And while I breathe, I'll just believe my Lord is gonna see me through. I'll not be deceived by earth's make-believe. I'll close my eyes to her siren song. By praising his name, I'm not ashamed, 'cause I don't belong. I don't belong, and I'm going someday home to my own native land. I don't belong, and it seems like I hear the sound of a welcome home band. I don't belong, I'm a foreigner here, singing a sojourner song. I've always known this place ain't home, and I don't belong. I belong to a kingdom of peace, where only love is the law, where children will lead and captives are freed, and God becomes a baby on a straw, where dead men live and rich men give their kingdoms to buy back a song, where sinners like me become royalty and we'll all belong. Yes, I belong, and I'm going someday home to my own native land, where I'll belong. And it seems like I hear the sound of a welcome home band. Yes, I'll belong. I'm no foreigner there, singing a sojourner song. I've always known this place ain't home, and I don't belong. Yes, I've always known this place ain't home, and I don't belong.
D, you can help me, Brother Brandon. I'm glad I don't belong to this mess, ain't you? I'm glad by the revelation of the truth that I still think a man ought to look like a man and be a man, and a woman ought to be a woman, and we're the crazy ones. But we've got the wall of the Word around us, brothers and sisters. That's what's keeping us. I'm glad for the evening light. The Spirit and the Bride sing, come. The elect are feeling the stir inside our heart. Our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again. A fine linen, clean and white, is granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With a righteousness that's not my own, I stand just before His throne, where we'll reign with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. Of our King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again. I'm so glad the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. We're still here. Shout of our King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again. Oh, the evening light is come. The bride is making preparation. Tonight we're still hearing the shouts of our King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads a lamb once again.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I'll tell you where He's leading us. He's leading us right back home. You believe He's taking you there. You believe you're one of them. Amen. Trust you do. While you're standing this evening, I want to invite you to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. If you'd be so kind to go with us to Revelation chapter 12. We'll start with verse 10. We'll read verses 10 and 11. We picked this thought up last weekend on Sunday, or on Saturday evening. I didn't quite get finished with it, but we'd like to go just maybe a little bit different direction tonight, if the Lord will help us. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Who? The accuser of the brethren. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. At thy word, 1954. And this will just take this for a direction tonight. And that tonight, how that I much criticism for everything where I was first beginning, it was terrible. But now the Lord has battled down the critics. So great men of kings and potentates and tens of thousands times thousands of testimonies wrote out by doctors and everything else of divine healing, even the resurrection of the dead, till it shut the mouth, the critic's mouth. Aren't you glad it has? Until it shut the critic's mouth. And God has appeared in the meeting in a great form of light that's been taking it, been through all the different examinations and things, until God has absolutely proved his word beyond a shadow of a doubt to be the truth. It stopped the critics. I'd like to speak to you tonight, the Lord to help us on silencing the accuser. Silencing the accuser. Silencing the critics. Let's just bow our hearts down and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to be called the children of God tonight. And Lord, we come into this place, Lord, under great expectation that, Lord, that you're going to meet us right here in this place like you've met us many times. And Lord, we're asking that you would just come and take full control of this service tonight. And Lord, that you would be, let's help us, Lord, to take as it was. And Lord, that we could just feed from your word. And Lord, we come tonight, Lord, just to, Lord, as it was, just to relax in your presence, Lord, to come to be refreshed. For we know your presence, Lord, brings a refreshing to our hearts. And we ask you tonight, Lord, that you would just come, have your way in this place, Lord. May you just move among us, Lord. Speak to the lives of your people that when we would leave this place, we could leave here, Lord, closer than what we came. That's our desire tonight, Lord. Help us to accomplish it and fulfill it, we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise be to God. So good to be in the house of God tonight, isn't it? Amen. We know that we are living in a great time where it seems as though accusations and criticism fills our world daily. Not just the world that is around us, but it's because who the God of this evil age is the reason we find so many accusations are flying all over the place. And we know that the prophet teaches us, even in the word, how that the scripture tells us that we're living in a great time of identification. You're going to be identified with something or even somebody. And we know that the world is looking to all kinds of things to be able to be identified with, to be identified around. But then when you come to the church, even people that come underneath religion, they want to be identified with something. They want to be identified under certain men. They want to be identified under certain doctrines, even denominations they want to be identified by. But not necessarily because they've been convinced, but because that's what daddy did, or that's what mama believed, or that's what grandpa believed, and we want to be identified in the same thing that they believed. And because it's a time of identification, we know that within the scripture that the Bible is more than just a code of conduct. It's more than just words on pages that is sent to bring us under the law to condemn. But there really is an identification that lays within the scriptures. And we know that Brother M tells us that somewhere within this Bible, you are absolutely identified in the Word of God. Somewhere within the scripture you can find yourself. And we know that we take the Bible and we see it even from the beginning of time because of identification being such a strong thing in this hour. We know that even from the beginning we can see how that men would raise up and they would have a certain spirit that would be upon them to make them say certain things or even act certain ways to conduct themselves under a certain kind of attitude. And they would do that because of the spirit that was upon that person. And we know where those spirits come from. They come, of course, from those that had fell from heaven and been cast into the earth. And that spirit has gotten upon men. And we know that many of those men that stood in those days, men like Pharaoh who stood against Moses, we know that that spirit has never died. Because we know that God takes men. God can take men's lives. But when it comes to that spirit that is upon them, that spirit that is on that man, that spirit never dies. As a matter of fact, those spirits that was in the scripture are still alive tonight. And so we know that somewhere within some character, you are going to be identified within the canon of the scripture. You are identified with somebody. Some character that lays here that produced a testimony, or maybe it's one who stood against God's word, or maybe it's one who believed God's word in the middle of great odds. You are somewhere identified in this book tonight. And we know that we can take the Bible and we see how that the Spirit would live in one day and then that man would go off the scene. But then it might be thousands of years later, we'll find the same Spirit that was upon that man resurrects and it comes upon another man. And that man conducts himself, speaks the same way, has the same stand, has the same attitude as the man who had lived previous to him because that Spirit has not died. And so we know Brother Man would say that we have lived somewhere within the Scripture. Our character is identified because you are in this Bible. Not only is it a Bible of history, but it is a Bible that is just as real right now as ever has been. And Brother Rem tells us the message, Identification 1963. He said, I'm sure tonight that we ought to find ourselves somewhere in some character of the Bible. So that we would know the outcome, we would know the outcome of that character and know what our outcome would be. So whatever we're identified with, whoever we're identified with, whatever spirit lived upon them, you can see the outcome of their lives. And in the same turn, you can take that same spirit, put it upon a man in this day, and whatever the outcome of that spirit was in that day, you'll manifest the same thing in this day. In other words, whatever they done, you will do the same thing because it's the same character, has the same essence, the same spirit that's behind it that calls it to be able to act, will make it act that way then, will make it act the same way today. And so we know by ourselves, whatever it did then, you can check back in the Word and see the outcome of it. You will speak the same way. You will walk the same way. You will stand the same way. And you will take a stand like they did in the Scripture. Oh, because the character is the type all the way through the Scripture every time. Again, he says identification. He said, I just wonder today, if we couldn't look in the Bible and say, that's me. As we wonder which one is it, which character in the Bible would we like? And let's just take that for a little while now and stay with it for a little while. And as we look into God's Word, let's identify ourselves. For if He give others in there for examples, what we are. Now remember, God takes His man, but He never takes His spirit. Satan takes his man, but never his spirit. But see, let's see if we can identify our present state now with Bible characters. In other words, we are identified. Maybe it was with Samson. Maybe it was with Moses. Maybe you're a Joshua. Maybe you're a Caleb. Maybe you are an unbeliever that has a hard time grasping the word, questioning the word. But no doubt you're alive somewhere, somehow, that spirit has lived before. Again, in three kinds of believers, 1963, as I lay this little brief foundation, he said, now what? You've got to identify yourself with a Bible character that to believe. No, if we're going to identify, we might as well find somebody that's believing. If you're a believer tonight, you might as well look into the scripture and find a believer and identify with them. So many people want to identify with all kinds of people in the Bible, but brother, I'm not living in the negative. I'm living behind the word. And I'm going to take my stand behind what God has done, and I will be in agreement with that word. He said, where you believe the word, oh, find yourself in a Bible character that believed. Where you believe the word when it was vindicated. Where you believe the word where it was vindicated. Like I proved it tonight, that it was a vindicated word always, always contrary. Always contrary to the popular belief, which is what brings the criticism on. And if you should have lived in the days of Noah, let me just ask, what side would you have been on? On the church side, on Noah's side, or the prophet's seed? If you have lived in the days of Moses, you would have believed Moses' message after he had been proven and vindicated by God. Amen. And then he says, but would you went with Dathan and Korah and Dathan and them and said, oh, you're not the only holy man. Other people can do the same things that you do too. See, you have to be one, and you are tonight. In other words, your testimony that you live, the testimony that you live, you realize is now identified within the scope of the scripture. The stand that you take tonight has been taken before. We are not the first one to stand in the hall of critics. We are not the first one to stand against the accusers of the brothers. We're not the first one to stand and believe a vindicated prophet's message. We're not the only ones who are talked about because we believe a vindicated prophet's message. But we realize that the accusers will be against us because they was against them. Can we expect our walk to be any different than our brothers who had gone on before, who sailed the bloody seas? Oh my! Can we expect our pathway and our crossways to be any different than our beloved brothers who had to stand for the word of God in the face of great opposition? Can we be any less than them? Hallelujah. When the elect of every age, when they stood for the word of God on that day, I'll tell you their stand was more than just the humanity of a human. It was more than just the spirit of a man. It was more than just the confession of a man's thoughts. And my, that sounds good. My, wouldn't that be nice? And I think we'll just follow Moses. Oh no. They stood in the face of people who would come against them and ridicule them every day, day in and day out. Lord, we'll not have to face the same thing in this hour because of your stand and what you believe. Many of our sisters are walking billboards, are made fun of everywhere they go. But brother, you are identified, sister. You are identified in the word. The unbelievers was convinced by the word. Their stand was upon the word. And the spirit of truth was upon them believers in that day. Because they was anointed to stand for the truth. Well, it would have been a lot easier for you to go by the side way. Oh, you could have went and carried on something else many years ago. But here you are tonight. It would have been easier for a lot of us. We would have had a lot more friends in our own families had we stood with it. But the anointing that was upon us is the same anointing on those men that stood beside Moses that day. They was anointed to stand with Moses. They was anointed to stand with Noah. They was anointed to believe the truth of that hour. They was anointed to bear the reproach for the cause of God. They was anointed to believe it. You see why we defend it so much. Brother, there's a lot of things that we'll never defend. There's a lot of stand on politics we'll never defend. There's a lot of ideas that floats around churches we will never defend. But you come and begin to accuse this message. You come against the word that we have given our lives for. You come against the foundation, the fundamental word of God that is, thus saith the Lord. Brother, let me say, the lion inside of us will begin to raise up. Why? You're not coming against just another man's teaching. You're not coming against just another preacher that lived and preached a little while and then went off the scene. That ain't what you're against. You are against the spirit of truth. And that accuser's voice will be silenced by the word of God. Hallelujah. We're anointed to silence the critics. Brother Ram says it like this as I finish this foundation just for a moment. Then Jesus came and called 64. Has it changed too much, as I said the other night? The devil takes the man, but not his spirit. The spirit of people that's in people has lived before. And you see those spirits was upon those men back in those days. They still live on men today. Satan takes the man, but the spirit lives on. Next paragraph. God takes his man. God takes his man, but the spirit lives on. That makes Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. That makes Jesus Christ. In other words, it was Christ in the Old Testament. It was Christ at the first of the book. It's Christ in the middle of the book. Will it not be the same Christ at the end of the book, standing for the very cause of God? That's what makes Jesus the same. It's because the spirit that was upon them men is still right here tonight. Amen. Oh, that makes Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He took Christ Jesus. But the Spirit, come on somebody, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has come back and has been upon people in the church all down through the ages, because God took his man, but he did not take his spirit. Oh, don't you see? Even though the anointing may have been different on those men, they would come underneath the dark ages, underneath the lion anointing and the ox anointing and then the man anointing. They was anointed to stand for their day down through those dark ages. Those men that would be criticized and talked about and men that would be hunted down and persecuted that stood there in the face of that anointing and said, you know what? You want to take my life? Go right ahead and take it. I'm standing on this word. Whether you stone me or not, whether you burn me or not, I'm standing on this word, no matter what it cost me. They was anointed to do it. The Spirit of Christ. Right in front of the line, that ox, that burden anointing that was upon them, that caused them to go to the chalk block. Now that they would go through and they would take and begin to kill children, all that spirit has always been in the land. Amen. Ever since the beginning, that spirit hasn't died. It still lives on men tonight. Amen. And how they would take and persecute those Christians in those days. But, oh, they would come in there with sword in their hands to take those children from the mother's arms. And that mother would gladly give that child up for the cause of Christ. I know we have a hard time understanding that. But they was anointed to do so. And they would say, hey, come back here. You forgot one in the bedroom hiding. Come on back here. How can they do such a thing? They was anointed by the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. They was anointed to do so. There's been believers who have stood and testified how great God was in the middle of danger. Oh my, to be able to face great turmoil and great problems in their life that it would cause in the face of great pressure. They would have stood. Oh, how much easier would it have been if they just kept their mouths shut? How much easier would it have been if they just let it go and just don't worry about the stand? And whenever the accuser would come, just remain silent. Don't say anything. And if you just remain quiet, everything will be okay. Oh, they wasn't anointed to be quiet. Come on, somebody. They weren't anointed to be silent. They weren't anointed to shut up. They was anointed to stand in the face of that opposition. Oh, brother, don't you see today the anointing that is upon you and I to defend this eagle's message, to defend this prophet's message? We can't help but defend what's right. Oh, why don't you just shut that up? Why don't you just quit talking about it? Why don't you just let it go? Because you're questioning the very truth of this hour. And we are called of God to not have a wishbone, but a backbone, to stand upon the truth and preach it no matter who likes it and who doesn't. We are called. stand and silence the mouths of the accusers. Hallelujah. Anointed to testify truth, though it would cost many their lives. Oh, what it must do to the heart of God for him to see how men has stood in the face of swords. Oh my, to hear them stand for the cause that is right. How it must have made Papa's heart swell when he heard them in the face of swords, in the face of death, stand there against that opposition. How it must have made him proud to know that they're standing making Jesus Christ the same. I say them testimonies, they are still alive tonight. Oh, those people may have went by the grave, but that spirit to stand is still alive tonight. I said it's still well tonight. Oh, what is it that makes you respond to the word when you hear truth? It's that spirit to stand that was upon those believers in that day. It's the same spirit that is upon you tonight to say amen to the word of God. To say that is the truth. No matter who around you believes it or who doesn't believe it, you got that spirit that was upon those believers down through the ages. It's on you tonight. I say there's power in it. There's something about a testimony that brings a power beyond what man can even comprehend. I say there's a power behind it. And I'll tell you this, the scripture has already been written concerning a group of people who has the Spirit of Christ on them. For the scripture said that the accuser of the brethren has been cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him. I'm talking about the end of the story tonight. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They was identified with the spirit of truth. They was identified with the anointed word of the hour. And now they have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, the speech of their testimony. You would have to agree tonight that our speech has a tremendous amount of importance in this day. To be active and progressive in God's word means so much to God, because God loves to hear his word quoted. God loves to hear his word talked about. As a matter of fact, you go to talking about God's word, and God can't help but show up on the scene. It don't matter where it's at. You may be at a friend's house. You may be down in Walmart somewhere. You may be over at the mall somewhere. But you go talking about God, talking about his word, and begin to confess the good things of God, and the Spirit of God goes to showing up. I love when God shows up unexpectedly. You wasn't expecting him to be there. You didn't expect him to show up in your car, but he showed up unexpectedly. It may have been unexpected, but it was welcome. They overcame. It brings a power. A testimony brings a power to change a situation. It brings a power among us. I believe this. Oh, there's something. There's something about the confession of the righteous. That God loves to hear your confession. Oh, absolutely. I say confession puts God into action on your behalf. Your confession puts God into action on your behalf. There ain't no devil in hell can stop God. There ain't no imp, there ain't no slimy demon, there ain't no spirit anywhere that can stop God. But brother, if you want God to work on your behalf, you've got to be able to have that spirit of testimony on you. You've got to be able to stand and believe that word is true, and more than just from the heart, but it's got to travel from the heart right up to the lips and begin to say, speak that promise from your lips. There's something about confession. It's creative. Listen to those words. It's creative. Now, there's been times down through history that testimonies of yesterday has matched another testimony in the scriptures. There's been times in the word that one testimony from one man that lived hundreds of years ago, even thousands of years ago, would match someone over on this part of the New Testament. We remember in the book of Acts, whenever Stephen, the lay member, had been out preaching the gospel. Matter of fact, he took Jesus' words as an absolute. When Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So he took that to heart and he believed it with everything that was in him. Stephen had been out, and the Bible says, as many signs and wonders and miracles that was wrought by the hands of Stephen. And Stephen wasn't even a preacher. Stephen was just a deacon, the prophet said. Just a lay member. But he was on fire with the testimony that Jesus had resurrected from the dead. There was something about Jesus being resurrected. Oh, the theme of the New Testament was a resurrection of our Lord. And how it moved from one apostle to another. And they stood under the anointing to believe that. And they was excited about it. Stephen got out and got to preaching the word of God. The Bible says it like this in Acts 6 and 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great miracles among the people. Verse 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, look out, which is called the synagogue of devils. Libertans, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and the Baptists, and the Methodists, and the Presbyterians. And they were disputing with Stephen. Everybody don't like this message you preach, Stephen. So Stephen is preaching a Jesus that's the same today. Come on, somebody. Let me say it. Stephen was preaching a resurrected Christ. Stephen was preaching a resurrection power. Stephen was preaching a resurrection message. And there was men who stood against Stephen and began to dispute the words that was coming out of his mouth. They did not like that confession. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit which he spake. Now watch. They find out, no matter how loud they get, how windy they are, amen, no matter how many numbers they have with them, they could not take and snuff out the spirit that was on Stephen. You sit there, I'm fixing to preach. They could not stop this man that was full of the Holy Ghost. They could not stop this believer who was believing in a resurrection. They could not damper his spirit. They could not talk him out of it. They could not buy him out of it. He was convinced the message of the hour was right. Hallelujah. So when they can't bulldog you or trick you, they got to try other ways. Verse 11. Then they suborned men, which said, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Now watch these old false accusers come up. The Bible says they couldn't resist his wisdom. Every time they'd try to back him in a corner, God would get him out of it. I said when they'd try to set a trap for this man of God, God had an answer to their questions. Amen, somebody. Even though they would try to trap him, you know what I'm talking about. They would try to trap him, but their trap would only be fooled because of the wisdom of God. And here these men are stupid enough to think, or think they're coming against Stephen. They think that they are humiliating Stephen, but they ain't talking about Stephen. Stephen represented Christ. Stephen represented the Word. Stephen represented truth. They wasn't coming against the man. They was coming against God. Verse 12, and they stirred up the people. Seen that crowd before right there. Preach to them. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes came upon him, and they caught him, and they brought him to the council. Now watch what they did. They suborned men. The word means to throw or put under, to suggest to the mind, to instruct privately. We're going to put you on the witness stand, and this is what you're going to say. But I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't matter. You remember? It doesn't matter. Does it matter? It doesn't matter. They're only saying it doesn't matter is because this spirit that's upon these men has lived before. To suggest to the mind, to instruct privately, to instigate, to bribe or induce someone unlawfully or secretly to perform some misdeed, commit a crime, to induce a pertinent person or a witness to give a false testimony. Accusers. I said accusers. They talked these men into coming up with accusations that was 100% false against God's anointed son standing on the behalf of truth. Notice these men, they are under the spirit of delusion. They don't realize what's causing them to do it. These men may have been good men, but they don't realize the spirit that is on them has lived before. So they start lying on him. They arrest Stephen. And they take him before the council. They get down there and they say, "All right, Stephen, let's see what you got to say now. Now that you're locked up, tied up, bound up, let's hear you talk some of that Jesus talk now. Where's all that spunk you had, Steve? Where's all that real victory you had, Steve? Where's all the joy that you had? Go ahead, say it now, Stephen. Let's hear you testify now that you've got somebody to listen." Stephen, anointed with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Stephen found he preached to a lot of believers and seen God do a lot of things. But really who needed his preaching was the people standing before him. So see, Stephen starts plumb back into Genesis. I mean, if this is going to be my last sermon, that might as well be a good one. So Stephen starts with Abraham. And he goes to the life of Abraham, and then he brings up Joseph, and I could just imagine these guys going, "Boy, this is going to be a while." And then he brings up Joseph. He testifies about them for a while. Oh, he gets a good foundation of the pyramid laid. Come on, somebody. And he begins to work his way up to the top, and then finally he gets down and begins to talk about things concerning Moses and how that Moses was a proper child that was born and how that they was out to kill him and God had spared the life of Moses. And he begins to testify about Moses a while until finally he gets down to where Israel had been in Egypt and they've been delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, and they come out, oh, how they come out with a mighty hand. They come out rejoicing in God, give them victory over the Red Sea. Until finally Stephen got to preaching on one believer after another after another. Until finally he come up against a group of people who was standing there rebutting Moses and accusing Moses of something that was not right. Come on, somebody. They begin to accuse Moses. The scripture says it like this in Acts 7:35. "That's Moses whom they refused." See that spirit? "Whom they refused. Who made thee a ruler and a judge. The same did God send to be a ruler and delivered by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. And he brought them out after they had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, 'A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you and your brethren like unto me, and you shall hear.'" That don't mean you're going to like, but you are going to hear. And this is He. That was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey. Watch. But thrust him from them and in their hearts turn back again unto Egypt. So he comes against these men whose hearts cannot be turned back. Amen. And now these men, the heart they have is to go back to Egypt. The spirit on these men that was against Moses was to go back to Egypt, was to rebuttal Moses and to stand against Moses. When he begins to talk about those who resisted Moses, those hearts who was turned back to Egypt, he sees an identification that the same spirit that was on them men is standing right here that has handcuffed him, that's standing right here on these men. I said he's seen the same spirit because that spirit was not dead. It had lived before. He sees the testimony. He hears the testimony that was done to Moses. It's now standing against him. And he just kind of swallowed his pride and just didn't say nothing and do me whatever you want to do. When he's seen a matching testimony, Stephen couldn't. You talk about interrupting the sermon. You talk about interrupting the word. Had a beautiful sermon going until he seen that matching testimony. And Stephen in verse 51 says, "And you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in your heart and your ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost just like your daddies did." He identified the spirit, the daddy of this spirit that is upon them was the same spirit that was upon those men in the wilderness. You weren't stiff-necked and circumcised in your hearts and your ears. They heard the truth, but they did not have nothing to believe it with. You do always resist the Holy Ghost just like your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted? Which one of those men have you accused over and over again and your daddies persecuted because of their false accusations? They have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have now the betrayers. You have been now the betrayers and murderers. This testimony has been testified before. These words has been said before. Because the spirit that is on them speaks the same thing and the outcome is always the same. You are identified by your speech. You are identified by your testimony. It's because the same spirit that was upon them to rebuke Moses has now came up. Think about it. And it lands on these men. And their speech is portraying who they are. Again, Jesus faced these same type of men. St. John chapter 8. And I promise y'all heard of that. Jesus comes before these religious Pharisees who knew the letter from period to period. Jesus got to talking about truth and preaching about truth and how that when you receive the truth, that the truth will set you free. And when he said that, he offended these Pharisees because they didn't like his sermon. We don't like you preaching on deliverance in our church. We don't like you preaching on being unbinded and being loosed in this church. You know why? Because they thought so much of themselves, they didn't feel like that they had anything that they was bound by. I'm trying to pull the preacher back. Hang on. They were so good. They were so perfect. They done everything so right. And oh my, they crossed every T. They dotted every no problems. We're not even in bondage. You said the truth shall set us free. What makes you think we're bound to begin with? And they told Jesus, we ain't in bondage to no man. What are you even talking about being free? John 8:33. And they answered him. Now watch what their excuse is. We're Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Look at what he's saying. Look at what they're doing. They're questioning the word about the word. They're questioning the former concerning the latter. The one who penned it, the one who anointed them, he knows what he's talking about. And now they're questioning him, telling him, well, I got news for you, mister. Abraham's our daddy. We can prove it by the scrolls. But because of what they're doing, because of what they're saying, they're identified by their speech. And the word is testifying against these accusers that stand before the Lord. Is this all right tonight? John 8:37. And I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my testimony has no place in you. In other words, you cannot identify with the truth that's being presented before you. I speak that which I've seen of my father, and you do that which you've seen of your father. Now he's really fixing to make them mad. Because now he questioned their daddy. But if you want to get a fight started, you start talking about somebody daddy. I'm from the country. You start talking about somebody daddy, you better get ready. He's fixing to be a fight whether you like it or not. But Jesus is ready for it. They answered and said, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. Then I ask you tonight, then the question would be, what is the works of Abraham? Believing. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Abraham was a believer. That's just the way it is. Verse 56. Your father Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. They ain't ever going to get this, and he knows it. And he saw it, and he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, we got him. We finally got him. He's messed up now because we know the word. Let's see here. You're not even 50 years old yet. Verse 57. And you say that you've seen Abraham. Okay, this settles a lot of questions in our minds right here. Abraham lived hundreds of years ago, and you tell us that you've seen Abraham. Questioning, questioning, doubting, questioning, bringing questions, bringing accusations, but not an accepting spirit. Jesus said unto them, I say unto you, even before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. So now he's offended them by telling them that that ain't your daddy. And then he offends them further and saying, I have seen your daddy, and your daddy has seen me. And then he tells them, before your daddy was here, I was here. And they get so mad. They get so mad. They took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself. And he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. And he passed by. How? When did Abraham see Jesus' day? How did Abraham see Jesus' day? Only thing I can tell you is when a man veiled in flesh walked into the presence of Abraham, Abraham said, my Lord. Jesus is telling these men, you ain't got no truth in you. You ain't got nothing to believe the truth. You have nothing in you to receive it. Brother, if you have something in you to believe the truth, you're a blessed person tonight. If you've got something in you to respond to the word, you're blessed. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that word make means create. We was born the wrong way. Come on now. We was born the wrong way. But when you get into Christ, you become a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So if you got truth, you've got a supernatural creative power when you possess truth. I'm talking about you tonight. Hallelujah. These men was identified by their speech. But let's look at the positive just for a minute. How did all this begin anyway? There's a woman who'd been down, a young girl, been down at the temple. It just so happened that the high priest had picked up the scroll of Isaiah. He began to read over in Isaiah where it said, and behold, a virgin shall conceive. Oh, glory. As that word leapt from the scriptures, it became alive into the heart of this young virgin. And she began to believe what the prophet Isaiah had already said. Let me say it again. She was believing the prophet's message was for her day. She was believing that scripture in Isaiah was coming alive right there with her. Till an angel appears before her. Luke 1:30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Hallelujah. She believed it. She believed what she heard. And when the angel come to her, he reminds her, you found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid, not of her daddy, not of her mama, not of her church, not of her doctrine, not of her creed, but she said, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. She's already believing positionally who she belongs to. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What else could he do? Once her faith accepts the word, that's all he's got to do. He gave her the promise. He told her the promise. And now she's the recipient of the angel's message. And she believes. She didn't have to wait till she felt something. She didn't have to wait till goosebumps run up her arm. She didn't have to wait until she was 6 months pregnant. She believed immediately. Amen. And faith cometh by hearing. And whenever she heard this, this testimony moved inside of this young girl. Can you imagine how here she is? She's heard the word. She's heard it. She's recognized it. And the next thing she does is she remembers what the angel said. Because the angel told her, you got a cousin named Elizabeth and she's with child. So she believed the discernment from the angel of the Lord. She believed the promise from the angel of the Lord. After the discernment come the word. I'm preaching to somebody, just hang on. And the next thing she did, she got into agreement with the word. And she took off running. Now she was living at that time a long ways from Elizabeth. But she's so moved by the promise of this word, she can't wait to get to her. And Brother Bram says it like this. There's a lot of places he says it, but I love it like this. I can see Mary Elizabeth out there, you know, having a great time rejoicing. Now watch, she runs all the way right here from where she's at, all the way from Nazareth up to Judea. And I can see Mary Elizabeth out there, you know, just having a great time rejoicing. And I can hear Mary say, oh, Elizabeth, I'm so happy. You're an old woman, and here you are going to have a baby. Who told you that? Where did you get that at? Man, gossip travels fast. Yes, I can hear her say, that's true. But you know, Mary, I'm just a little upset. I've hid myself now for 6 months, and there's no life yet in the baby. Now, Mary was running with the revelation. She was running with the revelation of this name in her heart. Amen. She knew what his name was going to be. She believed the angel's message. But it was a mystery. Nobody else knew it. Why? It was hid in Mary. Oh, but brother, when the right occasion rose and the right time came, oh my, the revelation that was on her heart moved up to her lips. Glory! And it came out of her mouth. She said, that's abnormal. I want you to watch. The first thing about Jesus now, that's subnormal. 2 or 3 months life, she said. But 6 months, no life. She was worried about it. What's her saying? And you know, Gabriel met me. He overshadowed me and said I was going to have a child knowing no man. And he told me. What are you doing, Mary? Mary, what are you doing? He didn't tell me to keep it a secret. He don't want me to hide this light under my bushel. He wants me to let my little light shine. And it just so happens that God's messenger was in the womb of Elizabeth and he was dead. And he told me, I love it. Here is a woman, which is a type of the church, quoting the angel's message to somebody else. And he told me I was to call his name Jesus. And when she pronounced that name from the lips of a human being, it'd been said by the lips of Gabriel, but this ain't an angel's lips. This is a mortal's lips. And as soon as she said Jesus, little John, little John come to life. You may have heard his name your whole life, but there come one night, they come one day, they come one moment when you really heard that name inside of your heart and it done the same thing to you spiritually of what it done to John naturally. You jumped and came to life. Brother, the first time that name of Jesus Christ was ever spoke by mortal lips, brought life to a dead baby. Hang on now. What ought it to do to the born again church that's been born by the power of God? If the first time it was ever spoke through brought life to a baby, and that baby doesn't only receive life, it's the eternal life. It received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and its mother's womb. Excuse him, but he says next, hallelujah, I feel religious. Look, brother, I tell you, When he spoke that name, that mother spoke that name, Jesus, Elizabeth got the Holy Ghost at the same time. Oh, glory. She said, when did the mother of my Lord come to me? As soon of your salutation come to my. She had to say it. When it come to my ears, my baby leaped in my womb for joy. You think this name meant anything to Elizabeth? Listen, what a testimony that Elizabeth is going to give birth to this boy because of Jesus. And this is a prophet that's coming. And the word comes to the prophet. So she's going to give birth to the word because of Jesus. There ain't no birth without Jesus, just to be honest with you. Amen, somebody. That's good right there. Amen. John was dead in his mother's womb. But when Mary began to speak the angel's message, there was a created power behind that name when it was pronounced and articulated from the lips of Mary. It brought resurrection power. Whew. Brother, what will that do for you and I tonight? That name that's accused, that name that is slandered, that name that is used in vain, can shut the mouth of the accusers. Creative power got behind that confession. Oh, don't you see? There's a power behind it. Paul admonished the church. Let me quit. Paul admonished the church in the scripture. When it comes to God's word, he said, you and I are called to believe by faith. Amen. These men that come against Jesus, these men that come against Stephen, always questioning, always doubting, always accusing, always bringing these questions. There's got to be a righteous confession. For Paul says it like this, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Okay? Okay? This is how it talks. This is how it speaks. This is how it communicates. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Don't say it. Don't speak like that. Or who shall ascend to the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Don't ask that question. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy and in thy heart. Because it can't come out of your mouth unless it's really in your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the word of faith, which we preach. Now notice now where the word's supposed to be at. In your mouth. Well, brother, what's the word? It's God. It's life. It's revelation. It's salvation. It's creative. It's faithful. You can rest on it. You can believe it. Amen. Can you handle that? It's creative. There's something about the words from lips that is absolutely creative. We're never to speak questioning God. We're never to confess against His word, to question if it's right or not. Because whether you understand it, you got to confess it anyway. Because the word confession means to say the same thing. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I say you can't even be saved unless you confess you are. I'm not me, Brother David. I'm a silence witness. There is no such a thing in God. And thou shalt confess. Amen? Brother Bam said, you can't be saved unless you confess you are. Amen, somebody. Confession. Now notice, thou shalt confess the mouth of the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in the heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. And the word ashamed means to dishonor. You shall not be dishonored, disgraced, disappointed, to be put to shame, to be made ashamed, to be ashamed, to blush with shame, to embarrass, to humiliate. I like this already. So if a believer takes the promise of God's word into his mouth and begins to confess that word, God is obligated for you to never to come under embarrassment. If you get a hold of what I'm preaching right here, you'll walk out of this building a different human being. If you can take God's word with faith in your heart and begin to confess that word, knowing that God would bankrupt heaven before he'd let one promise fall short. Amen. He's not going to let his word fall short. Amen. If you confess it, God is obligated to make your body obey your confession. I feel 10 feet tall right now. His word won't come short. He's a faithful God. Listen to me. Thou shalt not be ashamed. God makes you a guarantee. You're not confessing your feelings. You're not bringing accusations. You're not bringing doubt. That's not the speech. You don't speak on that likewise. But when you believe with your heart and you speak with your lips, whosoever believeth shall not be embarrassed. We got the confession of Abraham. Come on, somebody. Abraham called those things that was not as though they were. Hallelujah. Drop down the Pergamon church age. I got to quit. When a spirit born, spirit filled man in faith takes the word into his heart and places it on his lips, that's the same as deity speaking. Anybody catch the license plate of the devil when he left his building? Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. Thou shalt not be ashamed. Who is God? When the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is here to inspire you, remember, God will make your body come into your confession. He don't ask it to. And would you like to? And politely say, oh no. He says, body, get back in line. Get back in line. Get back in step. If you say you're a drunk and want to drink, don't worry, you'll soon be one. If you say you're a sinner and want to sin, you're right into it. If you say you're a Christian and believe it all along, God will bring your testimony, will bring you right in, your testimony will bring you right into it. If you believe in healing, believe that God has healed you, confess it, and God will make your body obey your confession. For he is the high priest of your confession. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father now with his own blood to make intercessions for any confession upon anything he died for. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. And Jesus catches that testimony. And he runs before the Father. He's healed. He's healed. I said he's healed. Hallelujah. you. And God in turn says, you are healed. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Brother, if I was you, I'd get my heart wrapped around that. I'd put that word in my lips and I'd believe that. If we have Zoe life, God's life in us, we become sons of God. What's this? Amateur creators. Because he said, whatever you believe, what you, you shall have it. And I've noticed a lot of times, I'd say things I couldn't even hardly think myself, but I'd say it anyhow. And I come to find out, it did happen just that way. I'd say things I didn't even mean for it to happen that way. But it did anyhow. Because I said it. And I thought, wait a minute. So I said, you see, when we speak anything, if something's anchored in us, we should never speak it till we believe it. Then when we believe it, we speak it. And that creative, somebody ought to be hanging from the lights. Somebody ought to be throwing a chair right now. Hello? That creative word. You know why you're sitting here? It's too simple. That's too simple. We think we need some kind of a supernatural noise to move on, praise God, one day. Oh, that ain't it. It's taking that word into your lips and simply say it because you believe it. Not because you feel it, not because you see it, not because you heard it. It's because you believe it. It's too simple. Oh, if I could get Brother Donnie to pray for me real good. If he was really anointed, I mean really anointed, something would happen. And God's sitting there going, all you got to do is say it. With faith from here. Just like when you go out and get in your car and you put the key in there, you know it's going to start. How much more should it be that the spirit that's on you's lived before and you can't keep from believing it? I'm preaching bribe material. Hang on, somebody. Something's anchored to us. We should never speak it till we believe it. Then when we speak it, that creative word goes out. It's a part of God and it creates. Silence is the critics. Let me close. John Ryan, so simple. So simple. Goes up into the prayer line. Many had come through at that around that time that their healing had been pronounced. And many of the people that come through the prayer line at that moment instantly received their healing. And John Ryan seen it. Heard it, that is. He's blind. He knows they got their healing. He heard them rejoicing. But he still can't see. So you know what he does? What I've done before. And what you've done before. Got back in the prayer line. Lord have mercy. We got back in the prayer line. Why are we getting, John, why did you get back in the prayer line? Because still can't see. And that man said, I was healed. He comes up before the prophet and he said, Brother Ram, you said I was healed. No, I didn't say that. That's where a lot of us miss it at. We hear the voice, but we miss the voice. No, I didn't tell you that. God told you that. You are healed. That's thus saith the Lord. But I still can't see. He said that has nothing to do with it. There's a power in this building right now to shake hell. That has nothing to do with it. Barry said, I tell you what you do. You leave this place and you go testify. You go testify and God will heal you. So he said it. That word come from the angel's mouth. And it dropped down into John's heart. Now John's running with the mystery of healing inside of him. Hallelujah! And everywhere John went, there had to be a first time, Brother Terry. Had to be a first time. Brother, there had to be a first time, Brother Bab, that he opened up his mouth and went, I'm healed. And he must have liked it. That man told me to say, go testify now, Mill. I'm going to testify everywhere I go. I'm going to do it. Well, what if you bring a reproach? I'm quoting the word. They're going to think you're crazy. I'm quoting the word. Hey, I'm healed. Praise the Lord. Put your hands on these children's ears. They don't need to see such. This man decides to come back to church the next night. Climbs up in the balcony. They get up and get to singing song. John says, hey, stop the service. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. Pentecostal. Brother Bram comes out and preaches. Brother Bram gets to preaching the gospel. John Ryan stands up. Wait a minute, stop the service. I want to thank the Lord. I'm healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And the usher stood up. And Brother Ram said, let him alone. He's only doing what I told him to do. I'd say a few of these deacons had already had him by both ears and both feet and both hands. And he said, he's only doing what I told him to do. And then the accusers come. Can you imagine the voices of accusations coming against John? John act like he never even heard them. Amen, somebody. Paragraph 38, expectations. Afterwards, he went out on the street. He sold papers, praise the Lord for healing me. He'd holler extra, extra, praise the Lord for healing me. And the people laughed at him. That spirit's lived before. And the people laughed at him and made fun of him. And they thought, that old man's gone crazy. He went crazy over religion. I've heard my family say that. And you have too. So they thought that he was ready for an institution. I love when God silences the accusers. So he went on like that for several days. Guess up to 2 to 3 weeks. We would have given up the next morning. Forget this religion thing. Forget it. It's Monday. It's Tuesday. You kidding me? He prayed for me Saturday. 2 or 3 weeks. And one day, a little newsboy was sold papers near him. Led him over to the barber shop to get a shave. And the barber, a little smart aleck. That spirit's lived before. Amen. Amen. Don't be looking around. That little smartick was always trying to have more sense. He had gumption to know what to take care of. He was wetting the razor and he said, Mr. Ryan, shaved about halfway down on his face. Say, Dad, I heard it when you went to that divine healer not long ago. He said, yep, I went up to see him. Said, I heard you got healed. He said, God was watching. God was watching. As John sat down in that barber chair getting shaved down, God was watching. And God was saying, you let him say that one more time. You let him say that one more. If he says he's healed one more time, I'm going to, if I, whatever I got to do, I'm going to give him them eyes open. Hallelujah. Yep. Yep, God. Yep. Praise the Lord. heal me. And his eyes come open in that chair. And he looked around. And now he's saying it again. The same words that he said before his eyes come open. He's saying the same thing. The same thing he said after. He'd already said it before. I'm healed now. He jumped out of that chair with the towel around his neck, and out the door he went, and the barber high with the razor running down the street. I bet God can watch this right here. That little smart aleck barber, he's fixing to criticize. He's fixing to accuse his last time. I promise you, he never forgot this. I don't know if he ever served God a day in his life. There's no way you can forget what happened to John Ryan that day. It just takes faith to believe it. Silence in every accuser. And they overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Can I give you one more as our musicians are coming? I want to pray for you, Brother Ramses. Door on the door, 1958. Lay your hands on each other. That's the scripture. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. They lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Over and overflow. Lay your hands on each other if you're sick and needy. I'm going to pray for you. If you believe me, if you believe in my prayer and you have faith now as you bow your head, I want to put in your mouth the words that will defeat the devil right now. I'm all ears. You just pray them as I repeat them with your heads bowed. Watch these words. Watch these simple words. This is not breaking down the molecular structure of atoms. This ain't rocket science. It's just believing. Almighty God, creator of heavens and earth, author of every last night, giver of every good earth, have mercy upon me. I'm in need of thy grace and thy healing power. Heal me, O Lord, and heal the person I have my hands on. Be merciful to them. Lord, I sympathize with them, for they are suffering too. And I believe that you are the risen Christ, showing himself among us with great signs and wonders. And Lord, you promised you would do. Be merciful to me, and I'll serve you with all of my heart as long as I live. Is there anybody in here that can't say that? We all can say that. And by your grace this night, I accept you because you promised it. I believe it. Watch these words. Watch these affirmations. I believe. I am now healed. I believe it. I accept it. I shall not listen to Satan anymore. Let me preach over here. I don't think y'all got it. And I shall not listen to Satan anymore. And I shall not listen to Satan anymore. I shall not listen to this Satan anymore. This doubter, this accuser of the brethren, I won't listen to him. I will praise God for my healing. For by Jesus' stripes, I am now am healed. Glory! Just keep closed in, keep closed in. Be reverent. You prayed. You said the right words, Hattie. Just in your heart, feel his goodness coming down. Feel them keys. Turn that door in there. And that faith that you once wanted is now coming. Unloose something telling you. Something's telling you there's something by here by me. Something's making me well. My headache is gone. My stomach trouble's vanished. I feel different. My limbs, my arms, new life is coming. Good. I believe it. By our hearts. Silence of the accuser. Praise be to God. I don't know what your trouble is, what you're suffering with. But the best I know how, I've tried my best to get you to see this fundamental fact that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. You've been persuaded, you believed it, you've been around it a long time. You've been around this message a long time. You've heard a lot of sermons. You've heard a lot of scriptures. You've heard a lot of quotes. But let all that you've heard, don't worry about the complication of how and how it's going to do it, what's going to happen. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about all the logistics. Just worry about the promise. Lord, it's you. You said it. I believe it. I believe your promise. I am healed. I do feel better. I'll resent this thing. I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. I am healed in the name of Jesus Christ. He give you the words that it takes. What excuse? What excuse could we have tonight? What excuse could you bring? Every testimony you need. Everything you could need, but every sickness, it lays right before us tonight. There's no reason not to believe. Oh, praise God. There's no reason not to believe. Take God at His word. Believe those things that are not as though they are. For your daddy believed that way. And we're the children of Abraham tonight. And as the seed of Abraham, I want my promise. I want what is mine. I accept it in the name of Jesus Christ. God seen that hand. God seen that hand. God seen that hand. Sister, God sees that. Brother, God sees it. He can't keep from seeing that hand. He sees the heart. Amen. The more I seek you, the more I want you. I want to sit at His feet. Sing it for me. He can't keep from seeing it. You have the words that it takes. Brother David, I was prayed for 6 months ago. I was prayed for a year ago. I was prayed for 2 years ago. I know John Ryan, but don't give up. Just keep testifying. Keep testifying. And God is obligated. He's obligated to His word. He will make your body obey your confession. Let's stand to our feet tonight.
The more I seek you.
Can we just worship Him just before we go tonight? Praise God.
The more I find you.
Believe tonight, church.
The more I'd find you, Father, the more I love you.
Glory to God, this is what I want to do.
I want to sit at your feet.
Yes, I do.
Drink from this cup in your hand.
I believe tonight.
Lay back against
you. I believe with all my heart.
And breathe. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find. More than I can understand, I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you, breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's a mighty God among us. There's a mighty God among us. God among us, He's here to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. He'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power, power in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
there is power, power in the name of Jesus.
I confess in the name of the Lord.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
What's He gonna do?
He will break every chain. Every chain.
Oh, let's worship
break
Him now.
Break every chain.
Oh,
break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
I said there's healing in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
There is healing,
healing
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, there. Every chain, break every chain, break every chain,
every chain.
He'll break every chain.
Every
chain,
chain
breakers here tonight.
Break
How many
every
needs
chain.
To come by your way? Oh yes, there's power,
power.
In the name.
In the
come
name
on, my Lord.
Jesus.
We believe tonight. We need your word, Lord. May we speak it tonight.
In the name of Jesus,
hallelujah.
Power
in the name
of Jesus.
He'll break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain.
He'll break every chain,
break every chain, break.
There's an army rising up.
Oh, there's an army.
There's an army
that's rising up.
We are rising
there's
up.
An army.
There's an army
rising up.
We're rising
oh,
up.
There's an army.
There's an army.
And I'm one of them tonight, Lord.
I'm
oh,
rising
Lord,
up.
You'll break every chain. You'll break every chain.
Break every chain.
I'll take the rapture in the name of Jesus. Listen to this confession. I'll take the rapture in the name.
Glory.
Oh, I'll take the rapture in the name of Jesus. He's going to break all my chains. Break every chain. Break every chain. He'll break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. We're glory, glory. We're hallelujah. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Well, glory, glory. Sing it, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. Oh, sing it again now. Well, glory, glory. Well, hallelujah. Oh, since I laid my burdens down. Yes, I did. With glory.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Well, since I laid. Glory to God. My. Let's confess it now. Well, I feel better. Feeling so much better. Glory. Well, since I laid. My burdens down, yes I do. Well, I feel better, feeling so much better. Well, since I laid my burdens down, glory to God. My friends don't treat me just like they used to. Well, since I laid. Oh, yes, I feel better. Amen. Hallelujah. Since I laid them down.
Since I laid my
burden. One more time. Glory, glory. Well, glory, glory. One more time. I feel better. Well, I feel better.
accuser, death. Glory. When I feel better. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you just call him up and tell him what you want? Call him up. Oh, call him up, tell him what you want. Just call him up, yes, call him up, and tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on that man. If you need deliverance, well, now if you need deliverance, tell him what you want. Oh, if you need, I feel good, Lord. Glory. Well, if you need deliverance, just call him up and tell him. God bless you. Service in the morning, 11. Oh, just call.